This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
It's time to get inspired. The award-winning Carrie Murphy Show, Straight Talk for the Soul, is about to begin. This internationally syndicated radio program, hosted by Carrie Murphy, is designed to provide you with a sacred space to rejuvenate your spirit, expand the horizons of your imagination, and unleash your greatest potential. Following a near-death experience in 1997, Carrie's mission became clear. She is dedicated to awakening and empowering millions globally. Carrie invites you to visit her website at www.carriemurphy.com. That's CARIMURPHY.com to learn about her Soul Success Life and Business Coaching Services, her books, speaking events, and more. You can also contact Carrie and her team directly at 1-800-704-SOUL.
Welcome to the Carrie Murphy Show, Straight Talk for the Soul, your weekly multivitamin for the body, mind, and spirit, hosted by Carrie Murphy. As an award-winning media personality, inspirational speaker, best-selling author, and soul success coach, Carrie is devoted to offering you energetic and practical insights to support you in claiming the inner worth, outer wealth, and optimal health you desire and deserve. And now it's time to get started with some Straight Talk for the Soul. Let's welcome your host, Carrie Murphy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Carrie Murphy Show, Straight Talk for the Soul. I'm your host, Carrie Murphy. Happy Valentine's Week, everybody. I'm so grateful to be here with you today. I want to extend a bright and cheerful good morning, good afternoon, and good day to each and every one of you tuning in from around the world, whether it's your first time joining us or if you're a longtime listener to this show. Welcome to our listening family here. I want to thank you real quick for all of your love and emails since last week's show when I devoted the hour to talking about my latest book, Treasures of Heaven, which I'm humbled and grateful to say became an international bestseller last week. So thank you so much for your love and support. You can find the book by going to treasuresofheavenbook.com. And I love knowing that its insights are positively impacting your growth and expansion. And as always, I like to remind you that I'm right there expanding with you. So, before I tell you about today's show, I do want to encourage you to continue to share the word about this radio show to anyone that you feel would benefit from this Straight Talk for the Soul that we offer in our weekly messages here. So if you have not yet subscribed to the show on iTunes, it is free. You'll have access to all the past shows to listen to at your convenience. Just go to CarrieMurphy.com, C-A-R-I, Murphy.com. Click on the radio show page and you'll find the iTunes link and a lot more while you're there. And so today, I am so excited about today's show. I'll bet you are ready for it too, because we're going to be talking about sexual enlightenment. Who isn't ready for that, right? If you're ready to harness and nurture your life force sexual energy so that you can experience greater fulfillment in life and love and intimacy, then you are in the perfect place at the perfect time. Because today I'm going to be honoring and celebrating and sharing the true brilliance and the light and the beauty and the love of two very beautiful souls. My guests today are Dr. Elsbeth Moit and Freddie Zental Weaver. We're going to talk about how to master your sexual energy in your life. They have a beautiful, really dynamic new book out, and it's called Sexual Enlightenment. And they explore the intersection of consciousness, the creative power of sexual energy, sensual pleasure, and personal empowerment. What a combo. The book and all of their work contains leading-edge principles and inspiring practices to bring lasting joy, not only into your sex life, but into your entire life and your work and your relationships. And I know that everybody wants more not only out of their sex lives, but every part of their lives. So whether you're single or you're in a relationship, you're going to want to listen to today's show because it's a fascinating topic. And it's not just about sex, although that's a fun part of it. This is about creativity and pleasure in every facet of our existence. So let me just tell you a little bit more about my guests, and we're going to jump in. Dr. Elspeth Moit and Freddie Zentalweaver, they've assisted more than 10,000 couples and singles in rekindling and expanding their love and relationships over the past decade. They're the founders and the directors of the Tantra Nova Institute in Chicago, and they are internationally renowned workshop leaders, relationship and intimacy coaches, and they're certified Tantra yoga teachers. They're also the producers of the best-selling DVD series called Creating Intimacy and Love, and they've also been featured on Showtime's documentary series Sexual Healing. They've also been on the Emmy Award-winning NBC show called Starting Over. Their retreats and their workshops are phenomenal. They have a fabulous new book out, Sexual Enlightenment. I'm actually holding it in my hands right now. It's fantastic. So we're going to talk about all of that and more. So I want to go ahead and welcome them to the show. Elspeth, Freddie, welcome.
Thank you so much. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you here. I want to get in as much as we can in this time together. So I want to dive in. And, you know, the new book is called Sexual Enlightenment. So I feel like that's a great place to begin. Is that something that we can all experience? First of all, what is it? And can we all experience it?
Sexual enlightenment, yes. We are all wired and made up for it. We just want to bring a little consciousness to it so that it can fully come into bloom. Mm-hmm. We distinguish sexual enlightenment actually in two ways. The first way is that the sexual energy that is part of sexual enlightenment is wired into us. Without it, we wouldn't be alive. So it has brought us into this world, on this planet, and it kicks in at certain moments, in particular when we, you know, get aroused or when we fall in love or whatever it may be. It's the mm-hmm. same impulse as animals have. In that way, we are actually just like animals. It's part of the wiring. So if we look at a bull and a cow, when they go into mating season, they go into heat, and upon completion, usually the cow doesn't sit back with a cigarette in her hand saying, that was phenomenal lovemaking. So, and why they don't do that has to do with that animals are not self-reflective. It doesn't mean that they cannot have sensations and pleasurable sensations. However, they don't linger on if it was good or bad, which also means that they don't live in such a kind of suffering as the humans live. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we as human, we can actually use that capacity of being self-reflective, which mm-hmm. means we can feel our feelings, we can watch our feelings, our sensations, our thoughts, and particularly as it relates to sexual enlightenment, we can learn to become aware of our life force sexual energy that runs through us all the time, most of the time in a subtle way, just like right now listening to this show, or in a more aroused state or climactic state at other moments. And so this is the second way, the second dimension, where we really start in the book, where we start in the work, that we bring our awareness and consciousness to our sexual life force energy, and then it not only embellishes the experience in the bedroom, mm-hmm. but also how we create our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like it's deliberately accessing that life force energy within us all so that we can direct it in ways that enhance not only our sexual lives, but every facet of our lives. And you know what I love is that you guys say that it's, this isn't just, and this enlightenment term, that sexual enlightenment is really a lifelong exploration.
Absolutely.
Right. So I want to talk about, Freddie, how does the whole practice of is it Tantra or Tantra, or does it matter?
You say tomato, I say tomato. Tantra.
Okay. Tantra. Okay. How does that whole practice merge with this sexual enlightenment work that you offer?
Sure. Well, you know, Tantra was the original yoga of the energetic body, Hatha yoga of the physical body, and it's all energy. Emotions have an energy body and so on. But when energy, you know, starts out as just like a, you know, a flashlight across the sky, but then we channel it to power a computer or a generator, just like in ourselves, energy starting like kundalini energy and then manifesting as happy energy, angry energy. But when it manifests as sexual energy, it's unique. It creates life. And in that process of creating, it feels good. It keeps us procreating and coming back to it. When we bring consciousness to the sexual, as we teach it, what starts showing up in your life in areas that seem completely unrelated to sex are creativity and pleasure. We start listening from a different place as opposed to that left brain rationalized thinking, well, I hate my job, but what am I going to do 30 more years of retirement? We actually shift the feeling state to either we change the conversation, which changes the feeling about the work, or we change the work, just as one example. Mm-hmm. So in terms of sexual enlightenment, you know, this enlightenment is an enlightenment about all of our life. How can we be more creative, more fulfilled, more actualized and authentic in this time that we have? In this life. And that's the work of how this sexual energy can be a doorway or a breadcrumbs, if you will, back to that listening. Many approaches to transformation in life, but few of that I know of encompass working with and learning how to work with our sexual energy.
Right. So the two of you founded Tantra Nova Institute there in Chicago. And what I find really interesting about the two of you is that I don't know if you would call yourselves opposites, but you come from very different backgrounds. And, you know, Elsbeth, you're a German immigrant, and you came from what you have, or what I've read, was a sexually repressed childhood. And Freddie, you're an African-American man. You are the son of a highly regarded psychiatrist, and you've been involved with Tantra since you were in high school. And so the two of you, like, came together and, like, was it just sparks right away?
Yeah, actually, that's such a great question. When we met, we were at a place in our life where we were looking, where we were open. It was not just looking outwardly, but we were open to creating love and creating relationship versus falling into it. You know, even in the English language, we say falling in love. Whenever I fall, I hurt, you know, so it's a more unconscious process. So we had arrived at a place where we said, okay, we don't want to replay the drama. We want to create love and really bring someone into our life who we can do that with. So, of course, to get to that place, I needed to go through some clearing in my own life. However, I had arrived at that point and was open, and then Freddie Santal showed up. And pretty quickly into the relationship, we were totally clear that we wanted to create something together beyond the relationship, which is now Tantra Nova. So, yes, and also the work together is like a glue. It glues us together because it gives us purpose, you know, even just like any couple, we at times have differences. We may fight. You know, it's just part of being human. However, to come back to our senior commitment to each other and to the work we are doing together is like the guiding light. And I have appreciated this so much, and, you know, both our willingness to come back to this over and over again And that allows us to share, you know, what's available, what fortunately has gotten available to us, and now we share it with people.
I know. I love it. And I love that you made that distinction, because I noticed that in the book and in your work, the distinction between falling in love and creating love. It's it's so important.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, we really transcended the love drama by creating this work, which really is so fulfilling in so many ways for each of us collectively and individually.
Well, and you, I love that you talk about in the book how romantic love, as we are have been introduced to in our society, is really not sustainable because it is externally based, and it can be confused with infatuation and drama and all that, and it's ego or need-based. But you talk about the topic of love in a new way, and how I am love, and I love, and I am loved are all really the same thing. And these are such important concepts. So how do you combine that with Tantra to enhance intimacy in your, in all the work that you do?
Well, you know, as we were saying, you know, and falling in love and the unconsciousness and all of that that happens, and it's wonderful. As we transcend that, to then bring some real clarity to the type of relationship we want to create. So conscious relationship, you know, you can love anybody, really, but you can have specific agreements with those specific people in the areas that you want to create that. And that's not typically, you know, known for people. I mean, it's like, well, if you love me, then it's everything. And then we start assuming. And then once we do that, we're in trouble because no one knows what you think, and it's never going to look the way you want it to look because everyone's individual.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things I always say about relationship is it's the opportunity to allow one or the other to be totally who they are. You know, how in relationship can we allow the other to be totally who they are? And that's the opportunity for personal growth in real agape in terms of unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, universal love.
Yes, yes. And, you know, both of you talk so much about cultivating our connection with ourselves and how that is so important to what we bring to our partnership. Elspeth, I saw you in a video, or I heard you saying at some point, talking about how as you cultivate your connection with yourself and you ground your energy through breathing and all the practices that you teach, the energy that you bring to Freddie and your relationship is different than if you were all frazzled and, you know, imbalanced. And so I'd love for you to speak about that, because that's really important, how it all begins with us.
Totally. I think that was the breakdown I found myself in 15 years ago. I've known Freddie now for 13 years. But 15 years ago, I was despaired with respect to relationships. And it had something to do with that looking for love outside. And, you know, I was attracted to unavailable men, and which was very, you know, intense at moments and adventurous. However, as we mentioned earlier, not sustainable. And I also suffered internally. And I thought it had something to do with, you know, if only the right men would show up, a man who is available. Until I got that, wow, Elspeth, you are not available. And so I put myself on a path to explore what was in the way for me to be available. And that is where, you know, our love self, like being love, and our sexual self, at least for me, came together in that exploration when I got that I actually was very much in love with my dad when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of 10 children, and so there was not as much time with him as I would have liked. And I felt like he wasn't available to me. He didn't love me. You know, as child, mm-hmm. children, we make these assessments then. And so that is what I took with me into adulthood, and I thought, okay, I'm just not the one he loved very much, until I got that I really was in love with my dad, and I would have loved to sit on his lap and play with him. And allowing myself to feel that opened my heart. And in the process, I didn't need to look for life outside anymore, because being attracted to unavailable men was like the hook. So love and unavailability was hooked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And by unhooking it, my heart opened, and I didn't need to use my sex appeal to get love.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the moment when things shifted, and there was further, you know, openings through the tantric healing, the sexual healing, that made a huge difference, that allowed for me to open myself up to Freddy Zantal, to notice him, to recognize him.
Right, right. Oh, that's, thank you for sharing that, because so many of us experience that. You know, we haven't had perfect upbringings, and we have all of these ideas about sex and love and all of these things that really can be confusing. And it makes it challenging for many people to be open, vulnerable, all of these things. And so I love that in your work together, you teach not only couples, but you have courses and workshops specifically for men or for women, because it is about working on ourselves first and foremost, and then we can come together with a partner and then enhance that feeling of connection. What would you say? I think I want to talk about some practices maybe that you feel would benefit the listening audience. Say, you know, do you feel it would be more beneficial to maybe offer something individually, and then we can offer something as a couple?
Well, we could do both, Carrie.
Okay.
So let me say, in all of this that we're talking about, in terms of, you know, seeing, allowing the other in relationship to be who they are, creating conscious relationship, being connected to our old story, how do we get to that, and how does Tantra, our sexual consciousness, assist in that? So let me say that, you know, when we're in our sexual energy, whether you're reading our book or listening to this show, we are more open, loving, vulnerable, receptive, connected with ourselves and or our partner. Chemically we change, oxytocin is released, endorphins are enhanced, serotonin, so on. So we are already in a more receptive state, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're able to, you know, be present to a lot of this emotional energy body that has us stuck in the story. Now, when we also develop, in coming into that energy, the witness state of mind, the meditative mind, and the belly breath, conscious breathing, and that's one of the practices that I'll share with you and your audience tonight that people can use throughout their whole life, and it'll start to give people a little bit of a separation from that conversation that then shades everything, that then gives us the results in this physics of this dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is the thing, is that sexual energy is, again, something that's available to us to use in a variety of ways. Typically, you know, forever we've been procreating with this energy. It's just, you know, built in. And then the last 100 or so years with the development of contraceptives, we've been recreating. And now what we're talking about is co-creating with this intelligence, this energy, co-creating in a way that allows us to more deeply connect with ourselves and therefore have more creative and happier and pleasurable and alive experiences in our life, not just in the bedroom, but all over. It's a systemic carryover. So when you're ready, I can share the meditation for an individual.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so if your listeners and you and us, we just sit, if you're in a chair with your legs uncrossed, and just allow yourself to feel your body, the weight of your body, you know, just sinking into the chair or the floor, the earth. Bring your consciousness to your breathing. Follow with your awareness the breath coming into the nose, down the trachea, into your lungs, extending into your belly like a big balloon on your inhalation. Really exaggerate the belly extension at first, so you really get a sense of it, like you're playing Santa Claus. And then with the exhalation, feel the belly flatten away from your hand, if your hand's on your belly, back up and out, all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. Again, breathing into the nose, down the trachea, into your lungs, extending into your belly, your diaphragm, like a big balloon on your inhalation. Exhaling back up and out, all in your own pace, depth, and rhythm. And just one more time without me speaking. And it's that stillness that connects us with this divine, this you know, ever-present, you know, consciousness that we are. And then from that place, from that still place, we start to interject our intention, what we want to create. But there has to be like that clearing, or else there's so much static and stuff that can be in the way. So,
we do. It's clearing the mental chatter. It's clearing the everything, so that we can be in that clear, open space to create and connect, or whatever we wish. You mentioned the word divine there, Freddie, and when we integrate sexuality and spirituality, you know, when we've heard that term sacred sexuality a lot, how do you describe what that means?
Well, you know, the divine are those moments of stillness, you know, like at the end of a hatha yoga practice, you do the corpse pose, the savasana, where you just lay flat on your back and you just breathe. And that's just an experience of the divine. You know, it's when we aren't in our conscious thinking, our efforting, or our story, or our anything at all. It's just breathing and being, the divinity of just being. And that's my interpretation of the divine. It is effortless. It is ever present. It is the consciousness that we are and tap into consciously from time to time. And
yeah, it's being in our flow. Mm-hmm. And being intimately connected with ourselves, because what shows up for me when I come to stillness, breathe into my belly, I become connected with myself, with the present moment, and that is where I'm in my flow, and I'm in the flow with the universe.
Mm-hmm. And in the flow with Freddie, too. As you said that, I saw these waves of energy, and it's sort of like, Elspeth, I had heard you talk about your relationship with one another as a dance, and how the energy, you're always connected, whether you're physically together in a particular moment or not, and how there's this beautiful dance of energy, and I loved that, the way that you described that. So how has your partnership as a couple evolved, you know, over the years, having practiced this for as long as you have? Does it get better and better?
It gets better and better. Also, what has shown up for me, Carrie, is that lesser expectation, because when I have expectations, now that doesn't mean that I have intentions for our relationship and our life together. However, without expectation that it needs to look a certain way, because that really keeps me from the present moment and doesn't allow me to be just how I am in the moment and how Freddie is in the moment. What really has been helping me back to the dance is that connecting heart to heart, and which leads me to the second practice for a couple that a couple can do. Just like we breathe into our belly all by ourselves, as Freddie guided us, when we come together with our beloved, we also can do this with a child. It's not just for beloveds. However, I will share it in terms of beloveds. We either are in an embrace or I sit on his lap. In any case, our heart centers, our chests are connected. So we are holding each other, embracing each other, and we are breathing in and out into each other's heart. So when we exhale from our heart center, which is in the center of the chest. We send our love energy to the beloved's heart. And on the inhalation, I breathe in my beloved's heart energy and love energy into my heart. And then we have this circuit going, receiving and giving. And when we synchronize our breath and focus on the heart center, we literally drop into the heart energy, out of the chatter mind. And just as when we do the belly breath, heart-to-heart breathing allows us to be in the body and to be energetically connected with the beloved. Mm-hmm. And it happens, like, it just happens. It's not, I don't have to think about it. I have to focus on the heart, yes. But I don't have to think, oh, I have to get out of my head. I have to, right. You know, focus on the present moment. It's just like the flow settles in. And there's something very curious that opens up when we are in the heart center. Love energy emanates and radiates within and with each other.
I love that. It's sort of like everything else just naturally, organically falls away without you forcing it out of the way when you do that, because you're just naturally in the moment and connected with one another. And in that way, all you feel and see is beauty in one another. You're not focusing on what's wrong or, you know, about yourself or the other person. And Freddie, what about the question that's coming to mind is there's a difference between male sexual energy and female sexual energy. Is it important to understand those differences and how can understanding that actually enhance our connection with one another?
Yeah, that's a great place to clarify, Carrie. For men, we start feeling our sexual in our sexual center, you know, in our lingams or penis, in the second chakra.
When you want to connect.
When we want to connect. And so that is, you know, a positive thing for us, yet it can be misinterpreted for women or for the goddess who starts feeling in her heart center. So for the man to begin practices of bringing consciousness to this unconscious aspect of our being, the sexual center, by first, the way we teach is we teach practices of learning to separate ejaculation from orgasm. And not so much to be a better lover, though that can be a byproduct, it's to begin to bring some awareness of the unconsciousness and how this energy has us. Is it too big? Is it too small? I want to be the giver. Am I deserving of just being the receiver? Can I drop into being the receiver? In being given to in a healing ritual, which we could talk about later. But the practices of learning how to do that for the man are essential in connecting and integrating this masculine, feminine, or yin-yang principle. And for the woman, it's a little different in that typically the woman has been socially repressed around her sexual self over the millennia. You know, and women really are the purveyors, the holders of this goddess, this life force energy, in terms of that they're the ones who say yes in a lovemaking instance. They're the ones who actually bring life through their body into the world. They're really the goddesses of this energy. And yet they're the ones who've had so much vilification put on them and repression around this energy. So for the woman, it's about connecting with her energy in a positive way that is enlivening, not just in the bedroom, but in every area of her life, which there's no way you can feel repressed around your sexual self and not have it show up in other areas. So when you start just bringing different awareness to this energy, different things start showing up in your regular life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for a partnership, that awareness brings greater empathy and compassion and understanding, which allows for greater vulnerability and openness, because we're not the same.
right.
And
we aren't. You know, because it's like when we're in the womb and we're zygotes in the womb, we're androgynous, and then it's decided we're man or woman, and then as adults, we have aspects of testosterone and estrogen in our system. And as we get older, the whole thing reverses itself. You know, men grow breasts, women grow hair on their faces. So what we're talking about is how can we integrate this masculine, feminine dynamic grounded in whatever gender we are as a way of listening and being. And it's that balance that allows for parity and for peace and for understanding and listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the opportunity and challenge for the masculine is what Freddie shared, breathing up and moving up that wonderful aroused life force energy, you know, masculine energy, testosterone energy is so vibrant and so strong and outward. To move that energy up into the heart center, that allows the men to integrate the masculine and the feminine. He connects with his love energy. From there, he connects with his beloved, because as he mentioned, most women, when they want to connect, they start opening in the heart center. So for us women, being connected like that allows for trust to settle in. And when I trust, when my heart opens, my yoni center open, which is the sexual center of a woman in Sanskrit, actually directly translated, yoni means sacred space, you know, much more endearing than our clinical vagina or all kinds of other not so pleasing terms. Mm-hmm. So that sacred space is a space I honor and I cherish. And so we have a circuit again, just like in the heart-to-heart connection, the man breathes up his aroused energy into the heart center. From his heart center, he connects with his beloved heart center. When my heart center is open, my yoni opens, and then I connect from my yoni center to his lingam, which means magic wand, that is the men's sexual center. So we have a circuit going. It's all about the flow. It's all about the circular energy that connects us within and that connects us with another.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love listening to you guys. I want to, you know, the thing that came up for me was, you know, a lot of us, men and women, you know, with just the cultural conditioning and all these things that we must learn to release, let go, expand beyond. I know you have a whole section on sexual healing in your book, which if anyone's just tuned in, we're talking about sexual enlightenment. And this is their new book, and it's such a great book, but you have this whole section on sexual healing. Can you explain what that is, what it means, how it's helpful for people?
Yeah, sure. We have the sexual healing practices that we teach are designed to not to say that something is wrong with someone. It's that in general, we all have unconsciousness and repression around our sexual energetic selves, just from socialization and just from the millennia of being, antagonistic thoughts and laws and so on around this natural life force. So the healing practices are about, again, teaching and sharing ways to bring consciousness to this energy as an enlivening force, as a more intimate, into me I see connecting force. So the healing for the man, as we talked about, is bringing consciousness to the sexual center that is typically unconscious, you know, as we grow. Look, Ma, no hands, and we're run by the little head our whole life. And for the woman to really get that she is a goddess, and this is a God-given energy, and there's power there, and to embrace it. So those are the healing rituals, and we do a three-day workshop for men, and that is co-ed, and then we do a three-day workshop with woman as the emphasis, and that's a co-ed workshop as well. And Elizabeth does a series of women's workshops, and I do a men's workshop. And these workshops are really the cornerstone of our curriculum offering. We have several other types of workshops as well, theater, body work, and so on. And they get great results for people in terms of better communication and relationship, more connected to what they want to create that feels good about what they want to do with their life. Some really life-changing things have happened for people over the years. We've been doing this all over the world now.
Yeah, may I share the opening that I experienced through sexual healing?
Of course.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, it was so impactful for me that I think it's part of why I shifted my career from a management consultant to now sharing with people and having created Tantra Nova Institute with Freddie, sharing with people about that potential of sexual, emotional, and spiritual healing, really that access from our sexual center to our love center, our heart center, to our consciousness center, that really brings about wholeness within. So in that sense, we use the term healing, coming back to wholeness, to integration. Mm-hmm. And when I went through my training, I mentioned earlier that there was a phase 15 years ago in my life where I felt really dissatisfied and despaired about relationships and not knowing how to create and bring in a conscious relationship and love into my life that would sustain. And part of my journey was to delve into the tantric practice that originally comes from East India. And I found wonderful teachers. And in the process, I was working in one of the homework assignments, which was the healing ritual for the woman. I worked with a practice partner. Freddie Sintal was not in my life yet. And so, for the practice partner, his role was really to be there without an agenda. It was not about having sex. It was about being there for the woman, for me, so that I could heal, that I could clear whatever I was ready to do at that moment. And I do remember that when I was touched inside of my yoni around 11 o'clock, a memory came up very vividly. It was the memory of the first time I had intercourse when I was 18 years old. It was with my first boyfriend. I had agreed to it. It was not forced on me. However, it was very, very painful. We had to stop. I had to go to the gynecologist. The gynecologist opened the hymen that hadn't opened up fully. And then the bill from the gynecologist went home to my house. My father opened it, and all hell broke loose.
Mm-hmm.
So my yoni felt like she had to protect herself. I felt very alone in all of this, misunderstood. Felt like all these men were against me. Of course, from my adult self, now I can see that my dad didn't have a clue how to be with a young, budding woman, given his upbringing. But back then, I just felt alone and really felt that they were against me. And so had to protect myself. Did some work around that in my 30s, went to therapy, and which helped in opening up to it and sharing about it. And I thought that was complete. Little did I know that on the cellular level, there was a residual memory. We can think of it like being encapsulated in the vaginal wall. Now we have memory all over, not only in the yoni, all over the body. We remember, the nervous system remembers. However, whenever do we go to our yoni and just listen to her in that way? So what opened up through re-experiencing this unpleasant, excruciating feeling, both physically and emotionally, that valve got opened that was held for so long, and by releasing the experience, the uncomfortable experience disappeared and cleared myself, and out of it what opened was deeper trust in myself, and then deeper trust in men in general, and then 6 months later Freddie showed up.
Oh.
You know, totally correlated to that recalibration within myself.
It's so important, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's the relevance, that's the power of these healing rituals. And of course, it shows up differently for every woman. For some, it's very pleasurable. For others, it may be very quiet. And for me, it was very cathartic, obviously. So it is just a tremendous opening where we can leave the past behind and come to the present and live our present life fully.
I'm so grateful that you shared that, because I know so many people listening are going to relate to what you're talking about. And it's beautiful that in your book and in your DVDs and in your workshops, you go through these healing practices, which I like that you clarified that this is about becoming whole again. It's not about fixing us because we're broken, but it's about becoming whole again. No, and I appreciate you sharing that. I love your vulnerability. It's beautiful to feel, and it inspires me, and I'm sure it inspires everyone listening. And the two of you together, it's such a beautiful, unique combination that I feel. It's really cool. What a great partnership. What a wonderful partnership. What have, Freddie, What have you learned with all of this over the last however many years you guys have been together, 13 years? What has impacted your partnership the most with all of this that you teach? I mean, in application, what has impacted your relationship the most?
Mm. Well, you know, one, this is the longest relationship I've ever been in, for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And we work together, live together, we're beloved. So 13 years is really 26 years. You know, because it's not like, you know, 5 or 10 hours a day you're away from each other.
Right.
So I really learned to sustain in relationship, also in what we teach in practice, to allow Elspeth to be who she is and really allow and see where my stuff comes in. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, myself to continue to expand into what my possibility is within the relationship. So those have been things that have really given me an opportunity to grow. Because otherwise, again, you're just kind of by yourself, and you always have your Sunday clothes on to emotionally with a
right.
new relationship the first 3 or 4 years. And so, you know, we've really continued to grow and allowed each other to grow and supported each other to do so.
So do things still continue to come up? I'm sure they do, but how is it easier to move through challenges together now with all of these practices and principles and tools?
That's exactly it, Carrie, is that, you know, things don't stop coming up. They just don't stick around as long. And if they do, then it's a continued complaint. Then we look at really what in a real world sense do we need to shift or change or try differently to not have that same complaint or that same issue. It doesn't. We move beyond more quickly the story, the make wrong, the churning, the loss of power that someone's doing something to me, and move more towards, again, that creative mm-hmm. solution and then the pleasure and the possibility of openness.
Right. You know, both of you have mentioned the word story a few times here. And I think it's important to just shed a little bit of light, because what that means is we all come into our relationships with one another with a story based on what we have experienced in the past. But the beautiful thing is we can create a new story. Do you find that that new story is created? It's sort of like what you guys were talking about. Instead of falling into love, you create love. You create a new story about love and what's possible.
Yeah, and including a new story around what we may have experienced when we were young. You know, for example, my relationship with my dad, I described a little earlier when he was so angry and, you know, when he learned about me having had intercourse for the first time. And he was not a loving father at that moment. And so I carried that around with me for a long time. That was a story that was not only living in my interpretive mind, you know, like a story in the mind, but mm-hmm. it was also living in my emotional body, you know. And so Freddie teaches a theater workshop that is not for actors necessarily. However, it's designed for people to rewrite their story around love, sex, and intimacy. When I did the workshop, what opened up for me was that story. Yeah, what happened happened with my dad. It's not that we changed that. However, the way how I can feel about it. So in that workshop, at some point after I rewrote my story where I declare that I, you know, wish that my father would have come and sat down with me and asked me, you know, Elspeth, how can I support you? I love you so much. And so then at some point in the workshop, you get to act this out with the other people in the group. So you choose someone who is your dad, and I chose Freddie to be my dad.
Mm.
So there we were sitting, and then he put his arm around me, looked me in the eye, and said, "Darling, I love you so much." And that even, I never could have asked for it, because it didn't even show up for me that I could have asked him to put his arm around me. But by another opening that possibility and acting it out in the group, my body experience, it's like a recalibration of the somatic experience. You know, mm-hmm. like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And new neural pathways are being laid. So this is what's happening when we speak about rewriting the story so that we feel about past experiences in a different way that opens up, you know, new ways of being in the moment again.
That is so powerful. I got tears in my eyes as you were saying that because, and Freddie, I didn't realize that in some of the things that you did that you incorporate this kind of thing in your workshops or, you guys are very multi-layered.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's all in service of, again, bringing more freedom and creativity and pleasure into people's lives, and undoing that.
Yeah.
Is a process. So what tools do we have? And the sexual energetic is just a natural process that takes us into a deeper listening, a deeper intimacy into me, I see.
Yeah. We've only got a few minutes left. I want to be sure that you can let people know how they can connect with you through your workshops, your coaching, your speaking engagements, all your programs. I know they can go to tantranova.com, but I want to allow you to share a little bit more about how they can connect.
Yes, right on the homepage, there's the book. It's available there through Amazon. So going to tantranova.com, your listeners can get it there. Also, there are 10 free practices available at the homepage by opting in. And some of the practices we actually shared, the belly breathing and the heart-to-heart connection, all at one glance, just pick up that free sheet and you can get started today. And then, of course, we also have a home study program for people who may not be able to come to Chicago. Again, available right on the home page, both in hard copy as well as also as a download. And then, of course, lots of workshops here at Tantra Nova in Chicago, in Massachusetts, at Esalen in California, and a Hawaii Island cruise in May.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You ought to come on that one, Carrie.
You know what? I just may.
Come on down.
That would be fun. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. Do you have any final words that you want to leave the audience with?
Yes, to stay with a belly breath. To connect when there's an upset or unclarity, to breathe into the intimacy within, and
keep living and loving.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You know? Oh, gosh. You guys, we could go on for a few more hours, I'm sure.
We'll do it another time.
I want you to know how much I appreciate you coming and spending your time here with me and the listening audience today. I've enjoyed it so much, and I know that the audience has too. I can feel it. So thank you both for being here. I really appreciate all that you've shared.
And thank you for your beautiful guidance in this interview. You really made that happen, I felt, to bring that all out.
Oh, you made it easy. And I love this topic. I love this subject. It's life, you know, and that's why when we were talking about, this isn't just about sex. This is life. This is, and activating this energy and using it in a very conscious way is the key to our liberation in anything that we experience. And so, I loved what, you brought to the show today. So thank you again. I want to let everyone know, go to www.tantranova.com to reach them and learn about all of their products, services, workshops, all that great stuff. Their cruise. I'm going to go check that out. So thank you guys again. Really appreciate you.
Thank you. Much love.
Yeah, much love to you too, and much love to our listening audience today. Thank you for joining us and sharing in this Straight Talk for the Soul. I will be back here next Wednesday to connect with you all again. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Carrie Murphy Show, Straight Talk for the Soul. As a soul success coach, best-selling author, media personality, and founder and CEO of Empowerment Coaching Solutions, Carrie is on a mission to awaken and inspire millions globally. You can visit Carrie's website and success store and check out all of her coaching programs, books, classes, and events by going to www.carriemurphy.com. That's CARIMURPHY.com. While you're there, please subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, and then return here every Wednesday to join Carrie for some straight talk for the soul.
As a soul success coach and founder of Empowerment Coaching Solutions, a best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and media personality, Carrie Murphy is on a mission to awaken, inspire, and empower millions globally. Carrie invites you to visit her website at www.carriemurphy.com or contact her at 1-800-704-SOUL. To learn more about her services, products, and upcoming events, and be sure to catch The Carrie Murphy Show, Straight Talk for the Soul, every Wednesday here on Contact Talk Radio. Don't wait. The time for change is now.